RTE2FM.
Lads.
It's Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook.
My absolute favourite time of the week is Sex and Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook, as we delve deep into lots of stuff. And this week we're going to talk about the 7-year itch, because one of UK's most loved TV presenters, Sue Perkins, who we love, recently revealed that she actually falls short in relationships when it comes to the 7-year itch, right? She actually said, "Where I struggle, the final hurdle is making something forever." Maybe because I'm so frightened of it. This is what she said. Now, our resident sex and relationship expert, Rachel Cook, is here to talk about the 7-year itch. Rachel, good morning.
Hi, Jen. How's it going?
Good, good. I don't think we've ever done the 7-year itch before.
You know what? I don't think we have in 4 years or whatever it's been now. We haven't
it's crazy.
Done this. So
yeah, it is crazy. Okay, so what? For those who don't know, I don't think there might be very few of them. But what is the 7-year itch in simple terms?
7-year itch is a popular belief, sometimes quoted as having kind of psychological backing, that marriages or relationships start to decline or end in divorce around the 7-year mark. Generally, it's seen as happening due to kind of boredom, restlessness or unhappiness. And the phrase was used in the title of the play, The 7-Year Itch, by someone called George Axelrod, and it gained popularity after a 1955 film adaptation that had Marilyn Monroe in it. So that's where the name came from.
Okay. Now, as a therapist, you know, couples come into you quite a bit. Is it actually a real thing? Does this actually happen after 7 years?
Yeah, so basically, there's no definitive proof that this thing is real, but there also isn't there isn't any proof that it isn't real. So basically, there's been a good bit of research on it, and the research outcomes seem to vary quite a lot. So, you know, it just seems to vary across country, across who you're taking as a sample size. There does seem to be some research that shows that quite a lot of divorces peak between 6 and 8 years, so approximately 7 years in. But then there's also lots of research that says other periods of time. I mean, there was stuff a few years ago in the US that found that marriages and the divorce rates peak around 10 to 12 years in the US. Studies in China said anything from 5 to 10 years. So it's not exactly very consistent.
I would say it's ongoing. You know what I mean? It's all about boredom. I mean, you're with the same person for a bit. Like, you're going to get bored at certain times, right? I mean, it's inevitable, or is it?
It is definitely inevitable that you're going to experience some boredom.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's just life. Mm. But the thing is about how people handle it, really. You know,
sure.
Some people really kind of step up and decide, you know, right, we're going to be really intentional about this and conscious and work out, you know, whether we need to go see a couple therapist, whether we need to, you know, zhuzh up our relationship and be doing things differently. And other people just kind of don't talk about it, let it decline, become more and more awful to each other until it ends. So there's quite a lot of different approaches to people managing this across cultures, across time, across generations, and across, you know, the individuals themselves.
Okay, well, that's good. But are people more or less likely, you know, now in this day and age to break up when they experience this than they were years ago? Or are people, do you find people are more willing to work on their relationship? As my dad says,
ooh,
if you enlist, you must soldier, and all that rubbish.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's actually, again, a kind of a mix. There's more people these days who, you know, you could say partly due to, you know, how things have changed in terms of equality and gender. You know, we're not exactly at equality yet. But, you know, it makes it easier these days than it was, let's say, 50 years ago for women to leave marriages that they're really, really unhappy in a way that they often just couldn't. Now, there are still lots of women who feel either because their job, their career has been stalled potentially by having children, or, you know, it might just be that they're quite financially dependent on their partner's, you know, salary, whatever it is. It still can be very hard to leave a marriage or a relationship these days, but it is easier. So I would say there are more people who are willing to divorce because they've realized that they're not happy. And that's not just women, that's people of all genders in relationships and marriages. And then there are also more people who are more self-aware, going to therapy, willing to kind of understand themselves, their attachment style, their trauma, their triggers, all of this stuff, who are willing to look at this more, and so are more likely to want to work on a relationship rather than just throw it away. So basically, basically, it's probably not really changing the divorce rates, because there's going to be some people who are going to be faster to end a relationship for decent, for good reasons. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be other people who are more willing to stick it out and see if they can salvage it and make it work.
Okay, so what are the telltale signs that one or both of you is going through the itch?
Well, that could be things like you've just noticed that the, you know, you've really got poorer and poorer communication, lack of empathy for each other. Now, bearing in mind that it can be one or both people in a couple who can be experiencing this. It's not necessarily both people at once, although often it is. But you might find that you just have a real lack of empathy for your partner. Maybe you now have much more unrealistic expectations of each other. Maybe it's that you have a lack of physical, sexual, emotional intimacy that you used to have. You have might have a lot more conflict. Maybe you're arguing a lot more and it's becoming very kind of, there's a lot of criticism, hurtful words, stonewalling, defensiveness, even contempt towards each other. Maybe it's that you're keeping secrets from your partner or they're keeping secrets from you. You're not spending much or any meaningful time together. You're taking each other for granted or feeling unappreciated, fantasizing about cheating. That's a very common one. And you might also feel quite low motivation to improve the relationship. So again, we're calling this the 7-year itch, but realistically this could be the case at any point in a relationship. It just tends to happen when you're a few years in. It might be, you know, you've kind of gotten past the honeymoon period, which can last anything from a few months to a few years, and you might have now moved in together, bought a house, you might have had kids. So there's all sorts of reasons why that might be, those sorts of things might be coming up. You know, it could be compounded by the pressure of raising kids, dealing with, you know, money, with your finances, stresses, and maybe realizing that you've got differences in values and beliefs around religion, politics, culture, stuff like that, that might not have been apparent in the first few years of your relationship, potentially.
Would you say it's possible to prevent it happening?
I think there are lots of things that you can do that are going to make you less likely to feel really restless and bored. But it's probably still inevitable that you're going to be at some point, possibly many points, questioning, do I really want to spend my life with this person? Or, you know, do I actually really even want to be in this relationship and have to work out, you know, is that more to do with the fact that you're just really stressed with work and sort of taking it out on your partner? Or is it to do with the fact that you need to really change up some stuff in your life that doesn't have to necessarily include breaking up with that person, but it's just a sign that you need to do things differently? Or maybe there are a lot of issues in the relationship and you need to look at that. So I don't think it's possible to completely prevent feeling restless, bored and doubting whether you want to be in the relationship long term. But there's certainly lots of things you can do that are going to make the relationship better.
Absolutely. How do you decide then whether to call it a day or to keep going?
Yeah, I would say learn to recognize, you know, red flags. If you like, really take some time to sit down, think about, you know, write about it if you can, or voice note yourself. You know, sometimes just getting it out rather than just thinking it can be really helpful. So that can also include talking to friends. But I think there's something that can be really helpful about just taking the time on your own to reflect, like, what parts of this relationship are working? What parts would I say aren't? Are they those things that, you know, have never been working and it's just that I'm more aware of it now? Or has there been a shift over time? How much have we, you know, kind of changed and kind of grown and also grown apart as a couple over the course of the time that we've been together? Again, whether that's been 7 years or it's been 20 years or, you know, 6 months, what's the kind of trajectory or evolution of the relationship been? So, you know, I think that's a good thing to kind of work out. Are there serious red flags about this relationship and this other person or myself? And then kind of get clear on your sort of boundaries and your non-negotiables for what you want for this kind of chapter of your life. You know, it might be that your kids are starting to grow up now, they've gone into school and you've kind of got a bit more time and space and energy for yourself. So you kind of need to look at, like, what are your values and sort of wants and desires for the next while of your life, which may include that partner and may include a different partner, may include nobody at all in terms of partnership. So you've got a good bit to do. And so if you find that overwhelming to think about, it can also be really good to talk to a relationship therapist, either with your partner or, you know, on your own, and have a few sessions to kind of have them help you figure that out.
Yeah. Okay. So that's therapy. That's one way to help reconnect. But what are other ways to help you reconnect and potentially, you know, salvage your relationship after experiencing something like this?
Yeah, so some things you can do are, you know, remind yourself of what you do like and love about them, because presumably there were things that you were really into at the start. Now, again, those things might have changed. That person might have, you know, shifted in a direction over the years that means that they don't have those qualities anymore. But probably there's going to be some of that left over. So just reminding yourself, you know, the half-life of gratitude and appreciation is often said to be the shortest of any emotion. You know, it can be very, very difficult for us to not take people for granted who we are around a lot and spending time with, because there's just so many opportunities to see them as, you know, not being reciprocal enough, not treating us fairly, doing the things that we want them to do. So, you know, taking that time to just really look at the kind of gratitude and appreciation for the other person. Do things together, you know, often over time, especially if you have kids, especially if you live together, you're just going to find that a lot of your life is about the kind of, you know, the things that you need to get done in a day, and it can be very practical in that way. So doing stuff that can feel a bit kind of a bit trite or whatever, but just like having date nights, doing activities together, having a hobby together, doing things like actually making it a bit romantic again, working on your communication skills. You know, you can't really fix something that you can't talk about and that isn't out in the open. So that's something. Looking at your assumptions and expectations of each other, talking about that, basically trying to think about, I would say, your social circles as well, because if you've found that you just don't have very many friends anymore, either because they're all busy with their own kids, maybe they've moved away from where you are, maybe you've moved away, kind of geographically or whatever, you know, you kind of have to look at your friends as well, because I think that can often be a big one where we end up massively focusing on the problems in our romantic relationship, when actually it's that we're lonely. We don't have enough connections with maybe family, friends, you know, community, those sorts of things. So that's another way to really, you know, and you can talk about this with your partner, with a therapist, whatever, that you might want to look at the other aspects of your life and not just the romantic relationship, which can often make the romantic relationship much better.
Amazing. Rachel, thank you so much for those tips and talking about the 7-year itch. There we go. That is Rachel Cook. She's a psychotherapist and a mental health consultant. She is our sex and relationship therapist here every single Wednesday. So if there's anything you would like us to cover on the show, you can always get in touch. You can email jen@orty.ie and you can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with the knee on the end. She's back every single Wednesday.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.